or they try to.
What in God's name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Turn the fucking beat up!
What is that? What is that? What is that noise?
What noise?
Really, sir, there wasn't any noise.
The Alpine's bumping, but I need the volume high.
Turn me on till I earn them on. Let's get it on.
Stop banging on the damn furnace. You hear me now? This is the last time.
Bring in the ruckus, you motherfuckers. Be giving me the ass.
All right, y'all, it's time for another edition of the Ski Tall Listening Series. I got a very special guest. Her name is Miss Cat. It's from Miss Cat TV. She is a legend in the game down here in Houston, especially when it comes to all things TV and film. She does a lot in the community, and we're going to discuss some of her endeavors. So y'all make sure y'all keep it locked here. It's the Ski Tall Listening Series. Y'all, we back. As I told y'all, I got a very special guest. We got Miss Cat from Miss Cat TV on the line with us. Miss Cat, what up, though?
Hey, how's it going?
hanging in there. We appreciate you for taking the time for joining us. I know you're real busy, always doing events around the city, so I'm glad that we was able to catch you when we could. How's everything going?
It's going. That's all I can say. It's going. But I appreciate you taking your time with me. It's always a pleasure. Thank you.
So I do, like, we got to rewind it back for the inaudibles out there. If you're not familiar with Miss Cat, we want y'all to get familiar because she's a big mover and shaker in the city and y'all need to know her. So Miss Cat, for the listeners out there, can you tell us where you're from originally?
Originally, I'm up from upstate New York, but okay. I've been in Houston since I was like 15. So I've been here long enough to consider myself a Houstonian.
Okay. I heard it. Now tell me, is this true, right? Because I've only been here like 4.5 years. I was told I can't claim the north side of Houston until I hit the 5-year mark. Is that, you know, is there a grace period? Can you put in a word for me?
You know, you gotta kind of put in your time. I'm like the 10-15 mark. So
okay,
you
okay.
Know what I'm saying? So I you might have to just put in your time. I'm sorry about that, but yeah, we all had to put in our time.
That's that OG status. That's that gold card.
For sure.
So you mentioned that you've been down here since 15. How did you get started in the entertainment world?
Well, basically, I was actually in the corporate world. I was in the property management, actually.
Okay.
So I used to manage one of the largest properties in the city. A lot of people know of it as Broadway Square, but it's 5,200 units, I believe. And so I used to be over that property, one of the managers over that property. And we ended up getting laid off.
Mm.
And literally the week before we got laid off, a colleague of mine had got approached by a producer to actually host the TV show. So at first it was going to be something, you know, that I was going to do kind of like on the side. But then obviously once I got laid off, I put more time and energy into it. The producer that was on the show actually walked away from the show. He was, you know, kind of just getting tired of mm-hmm. it. A lot of people don't understand how much money and resources it takes to actually keep a, you know, an active TV show going.
Right, right.
So I actually stepped in as the producer and continued to produce that. It was, you know, just a little public access TV show. But nonetheless, that's pretty much how I got started. So once I started to produce, I realized that I like being, you know, behind the camera more than in front of the camera.
Okay.
And so that's pretty much how everything, you know, started for me.
So it's safe to say then that it wasn't your goal initially, but as you got into it and got more comfortable with it, you really started to see, like, what it could be? So you had a vision for it?
Yeah, so basically, you know, I thought that I wanted to be in the limelight until it was like, Kat, you can't go on camera without no makeup. Kat, you gotta wear this. Kat, I didn't sign up for this kind of life, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know what I mean? So, that, you know, wasn't never my goal to be, like, you know, dictated to, like, oh, you gotta be this kind of way, you gotta watch your weight, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that, right, that was the first thing that kind of was like, I don't think this is for me. So then I went to film school to kind of, you know, learn the basics and just learn all aspects of it,
yeah.
You know, cameras, producing, editing, you know, just the whole thing. And as I really dived into it, and as I really got into it, that's when I really realized, okay, wait, I can be just as productive or just as important and nobody even see my face.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so that's when I realized, you know, producing and directing is really, you know, what I love to do.
See, and I think that's an important distinction to have, because, you know, a lot of times, especially, like, for the younger listeners out there, man, like, when you're trying to figure out what you want to do with something, everybody wants to be the star, right? Like, starting off wise.
Exactly.
But as you kind of find, as you learn the industry, and I think that's commendable that not only did you learn it, but you took it the extra step to really, like, shore up your craft and learn all facets of it. I think that more people should do that, because just because you can't, like, if you want to be a singer, just because you can't sing all the way as well as everybody else, like, if you're part of a group, maybe you can, like, you know, play the keyboard or do something else in
exactly.
the background, and that's probably your
exactly.
skill set. That doesn't mean that it's not for you. That part of it just isn't for you.
Exactly, and that's what I had to learn, like, really quickly. Like, you don't have to... You know, like, what I try to tell people, like, I can light other people's candle, and that's not going to take my light away.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's not going to dim my light. It's not going to do nothing to me by helping, you know, promote and be a platform for others.
Yeah.
And, you know, and once I realized what my purpose was in this industry, you know, I've just kind of took it and ran with it. And, you know, here I am today.
Yeah. I mean, and you got to do that. You know what I'm saying? So I had the opportunity. You had an event in partnership with Bang Pros Production. I came out to one of your events at the Budweiser Brewery.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It was banging. It was a lot of folks out there. That was my first, like, I thought it was a dope event. You had a good mix of, like, different people out there. And I saw you, like, I got a chance, I snuck a picture with you. I don't know if you remember. It was me and I, because we talked leading up to it, but I know you was busy. And
yeah.
I came up so I could introduce myself to you in person, and I snuck a picture with you real quick, but then you had to hurry up because, you were producing the show, so, like, you had to hurry up and get the next award going and stuff. But I did, and then, you know, I did the typical, and y'all could talk about me later, but I did the typical, yep, just took a picture with Miss Kat. She fucking with the movement and Audible Ruckus.
Well, I appreciate it, and I hate it because I try to kind of warn people, like, yo, do not think that we're going to have, like, a meet and greet,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying,
yeah.
On game day, like, you know
no,
what I'm
no,
saying?
Perfectly understand.
But I do try to, like, okay, here's, let's get pictures, let's do this, because I know that at the end of the day, people do want to connect, you know what I'm saying,
yeah.
But... What I, like, in 2018 and just moving forward, what I need to work on is having me a solid like team.
Mm-hmm.
That's my hardest thing is like relinquishing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Responsibility, because I know that it's only one me, and I get so scared that, okay, if I give somebody this task, will it really get done?
Yeah.
And, you know, the way that Miss Cat will do it. And so you'll see me, like, at the event running around crazy,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I'm trying to make sure, you know, that everything is handled. But I'm glad that we got a chance to snap a picture.
Well, no.
And, you know, most definitely... catch me on the next
go-round. Like,
oh, no,
it's all
know, good. Catch me at somebody else's event.
Right.
Luke Network has somebody else's event.
Well, I understood because, you know, like you said, in this game, is everybody always talks about team, and that's actually a topic we're going to explore on the show later on this week. But everybody's always talking about a team, and it's one of those things where when you put the amount of work and energy and skill into perfecting your craft, right, and you hire people, but then you want to delegate to them, but do they want it as bad as you want it? So I got to ask you,
exactly,
in building up like your multimedia conglomerate, what are some areas or aspects that you're looking to expand upon in 2018? Like, is it just TV? Are you crossing over into radio and stuff, or what else?
Well, actually, to be honest with you, I stepped away from TV. You know, I was heavy in TV production,
mm-hmm.
but I actually stepped away from that, and now I'm more focused on film.
Okay.
So when I say film, I'm talking about short films, web series, you know, stuff with a storyline, more or less. So that's my focus in 2018. I have not, as of yet, done a movie. So that's one of my goals that I'm looking to do is write a script for a movie. I think at this point, from all, you know, that I've been doing for the last couple of years, like I think I'm finally there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
to do my first movie. So that's what I'm gonna be working on. I do want to continue to be an outlet to the city. My outlet is not just with TV. I do, you know, help independent artists as well.
Yep.
So that means that if they do need that radio play and stuff like that, I am connected within the city to help them, you know, get radio and all those things. So if you didn't know, my slogan is Miss Cat TV, your personal outlet, because my goal is to really just be the plug.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I know that might sound a little cliche, but...
Now, but you're really doing it, though. The work is evident. We know.
Well, I appreciate that. But my thing is, like, if you need TV, I can get you there. If you need radio, I can get you there. You know,
mm-hmm.
So that's what my ultimate should be, that. And like, oh, I know if I go to Miss Cat, it's going to get done. And that's, you know, what I'm building my reputation and my brand to be.
So I got to ask you. So you talked about the web series and going into film. Tell us about For My Child. Like, walk us, like, first tell us the premise of it, the overview, and then kind of walk us through the process for how it came about.
I got you. So basically what happened with For My Child, how that came about is because I had something that I had done called My Stories, and basically the writers and the people that I was working with on that project, some of it kind of went a little left,
mm-hmm.
so I decided to, you know, kind of just step away from that project, per se. And so basically what happened was, it had been like a year since I had produced my stories, and I'm like, you know what, people probably thought that I don't got it no more. That's probably why, you know,
yep.
You know how you just ego thing. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to write a short film.
Just to prove the haters wrong. Just to prove the haters wrong.
Exactly. You know, just floss a little bit. Show them that, you know, I know what I'm doing. Show them that I'm still in the game. You know what I'm saying? And so I wrote the first script for My Child.
Mm-hmm.
It was literally, like I said, something that was supposed to be a one-time situation. And we released it on YouTube. It was going to be just like a YouTube, you know, something that I will put on my page just to kind of floss. And we got 20,000 hits on it.
Hey, that's good. That's good work.
So everybody was like, "No, Kat, no. You can't do us like that. You cannot stop. Like, you cannot stop this."
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, "Okay, well, I don't have, you know, the time to really do it, you know, as consistent as I would like." But I was like, "I can do one a month. You know, I can drop a new episode per month." And that's what we did for 6 months. We dropped a new episode, and literally, I was writing them as I went. Okay. So it wasn't nothing pre, you know, it wasn't like this big master plan. It wasn't this big, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was just like month for month, let me write something to go to the next episode.
So can
and that's how it came about.
Can I ask you a question real quick, just from a writer's standpoint? Do you find it easier to write in that format where it just kind of flows from episode to episode versus, you know, some writing styles, like they kind of have an end and they write, like they just try to draw lines to how to get to that ending?
You know, to be honest with you, it's more freeing for me,
mm-hmm.
like just to pick up the paper and just write. It just kind of, by like 3 and 4, it kind of got a little difficult only because it started to get intricate. Like, you know, we had to make sure we didn't have crossover of characters and how does this character function with that character. So it kind of, you know, not having a plan for it, it did kind of, there were times where I had like writer's block and trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't as hard as one would think just to go month for month. I think, like I said, I think it was more freeing. I think it was more, just kind of off the whim and made it better to me because I didn't have any, you know, preconceived. It was just like, this is what it is this month.
Right.
We'll find out next month what it's going to be, next month. You know what I mean? So I guess it was just more fun and whimsical that way, you know.
So when you were...
nobody knew. Nobody, what? I didn't even know. They'll be like, what's next? I don't know. Shoot, just wait till I get in the spirit to keep writing and you'll find out soon.
Well, I mean, and I think that's what made it so dope because it was a lot of plot twists. And I'm a big story guy, right? I watch stuff for the story. I like the action and stuff too, but like when you throw like curveballs in there and like change the character dynamics and stuff. So that's what was kind of intriguing my interest because it was like this person is cheating on this person, but then come to find out this person was trying to kill this person. It was packed full of drama. I was all over the place, like, oh shit. Plot twist.
It was funny to me because it's one thing when you see a script, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, yeah, this is a good script. But it's another thing when you actually see it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like when it's actually produced. So it's just like, it's like new to me, even though I wrote it, even though it's mine. But it's still new to me when I see it, because I'm like, damn, this is, you know what I mean? Like, this is the words coming to life, you know? And it's funny how some of the characters, you know, in the beginning were the most hated, and now they're the heroes, or the ones that were the heroes, or the zeros.
That's good writing, though. That's good writing.
It's funny to me, like, when I do radio interviews, it'd be funny, like, when people like, I can't stand that person. Oh, okay, that means I did my job. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't stand that girl. Okay, I did my job then, you know? So, it's a very cool experience, honestly.
So, can I ask you then, when you came up with these characters, what was your inspiration for some of the characters? Are there elements of people that you've dealt with in the past that you kind of put those personalities into these people?
It's funny that you asked me that. Because no, like people are like, is this something, you know how people like when stuff is good, they always think, oh, this has to be inspired by something, or, you know, maybe she had something like that. I swear, like, all of this was just off the cuff.
Mm.
The only thing, honestly, is my girl, shout out to my girl Taz, her, you know, that plays Taz.
Yep.
Seriously, I came to her, I said, girl, you pregnant. Let me do something, you know, let's do something just twisted. You know what I mean?
No, well, okay, time out. When she fought the girl in the bathroom,
yes,
I'm watching it, like, I'm like, real. She pregnant, though. Like, so can you hit her? And she didn't care that she, like, The other girl didn't care, but Taz was like, I don't care, let's scrap. Now I'm like, wait, hold on a sec, you pregnant though. But that's like, real. Yes. That's real.
Like I said, shout out to my girl Taz, because it all started with her. You know, that's being honest. I came to her and I'm like, yo, this is what I want to do, because she was in my other production and, you know, she's always just been down for the cause. So I was like, you know what? I don't really know what I want to do, but I know you're down. Can we play off your pregnancy some kind of way and let's just play it up? You know what I'm saying? She's like, okay, cool, I'm down. And when I tell you, the very first episode, because I had, you know, it's been a while since I've directed and put something together. Mm-hmm. We were there to like 5-6 o'clock in the morning. So she's dragging her in heels, pregnant, damn, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. I mean,
that's dedication.
Like, people don't understand, you know, yeah, like the dedication. And when we did the fight scene, I'm like, I'm literally like about to pull my hair out because I'm like, oh my God. You know, but she's like, no, I'm good. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Of course, we didn't film it. We pieced it together consecutively, but it was not, you know, filmed that way. So there was breaks, you know, in between or whatever. But it's just the fact that she kicked her in the stall and she put, you know, it's just like, you know, kudos to those that like really take it and just take it by the horns and just go with it. And if anything was preconceived, you know, it was just basically, you know, with Taz, like, sitting down with her, like, yo, let's do something dope. And she was just with it. And that's how it started, honestly. Yeah. You know.
So can I ask you then, because it was a lot of twists and turns in the storyline, which, like I said, that's good writing. Are you a fan of, like, soap operas or, like...
I won't say that I am. The thing is that my stories was something that I created. It was supposed to be an African American soap opera, because basically the soap operas that I would always see just had them and they never had us. So I was like, man, it'd be cool just to have a, you know, an African American soap opera that's, you know, based on black stuff. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just being honest. So I did my stories, like I said, it kind of went left just on the back end. So For My Child wasn't supposed to really be a soap opera, but as I, you know, produced it, I realized that it kind of did have, you know, that schematic to it. But again, this was just something that I just did off the whim, so I just kind of went with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it wasn't supposed to be in that format, but it kind of just happened to do, you know, do what it does, and I'm happy with it. I think, you know, at the end of the day, I think that it still, you know, came out good. I think that even though the stories kind of jump around, they still, you know, mingle with each other, and then, you know, I don't think it's hard to follow. I think that if you're engaged and you're paying attention, you still should be able to follow, yeah, you know, what's going on.
Well, so this is one of the things, and I agree with you on that. So I'm big. I like indie movies and everything, and indie shows, because I like to see new talent. But then, like I said, I like storyline. What I saw in yours was, like you said, there was character development. There was overarching stories. There was you didn't get lost in it, though. What I see with a lot of people when they try to do movies, they just have a series of random hood interactions with folks where it's like, all right, let's have a drug deal scene. And people meet up, yell at each other, say some slick drug dealer stuff. Then they have a shootout. Then it be over. Then they be eating at a restaurant. And then it's setting up the next drug dealer scene. And it's like, that stuff is cool. But, like, there's no really, you don't connect to the characters. There's no real story to follow. You don't understand why all of this stuff is going on other than that's what the streets is. So I like yours having kind of that flow to it, and you really like seeing the characters go through their progressions in the story.
And I appreciate that. And thank you, first of all, for taking out the time to watch it, you know. But thank you, you know, for the feedback, because, again, with me just jumping into the project, I was just, like I said, I wanted to do one little thing just to show people I was still there,
yeah,
and they didn't want me to stop.
That's how it starts. You get the people what they want.
Yeah, and that's what I did. I was like, you know what? But it was funny because even though I felt like I was giving the people what they want, I still get the, why is it so short? Why do I have to wait a month? Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, damned if I do, damned if I don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's how you know you got them on the rope, so to speak. So, I mean, that's good, yeah. Though. You got a dedicated fan base.
Definitely. So I appreciate everybody because, again, it's that keeps me going. It's that keeps me writing that next script. You know, it's that just said, you know what, I can keep doing this. So I definitely appreciate that.
So I want to switch gears a little bit. I got to ask, right? Being the OG in the TV game, and I say that with all respect, like, and in film.
I appreciate it.
Watching kind of the shift more so towards with reality TV and seeing how that, like, impacts people's careers. You know, some people launch from it. Some people, you know, it kind of damages their image. But, like, what are your thoughts just on reality TV as a whole?
My thoughts is that, first of all, reality TV is still fake. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people think that the way that it's filmed or whatever the case may be, because that's what they want you to perceive, that is, you know, that is real. But in essence, you know, it's scripted as well. So I just think that, I just fell in love with the whole process, period. You know what I mean? So if I ever got a chance to produce or be a part of a reality TV show, I probably would. You know what I mean? Just for that experience. Is it something that I feel like that I would ever, you know, want to, like, take the reins on and hone in on? Probably not. But if the opportunity, you know, presented itself, I would do it. And I guess as far as people damaging their careers in front of the camera, I'm assuming it's because of that dollar sign. You know what I'm saying?
Because
they see the script. They know what's in it. You know what I mean? They know what's going to happen. So, you know, it just be, I guess, it's the amount of money that will, you know, so I wouldn't feel bad, you know, when something happens because they already, that's all preordained. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if, you know, somebody come out and if they cheating and doing this and that and the third, trust me, they already, that's scripted, they already knew. So
yeah.
If they cool with it, I'm cool with it. You know what I mean?
Get your money.
Exactly. Get your money, baby.
So
I'm mad at you.
So tell us a little bit about the Miss Cat TV for kids. I know that was an initiative that you do because you're real big in the community, and I know a lot of times people like to downplay that stuff, but I feel like we need to take the opportunity to shine that light and show folks. So can you just tell us a little bit about that?
Thank you. Yeah, so Miss Cat TV for kids is a program that I developed for children that are interested in production. You know, we have not only just the faces, of course, but it's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. So we teach them how to build sets, about improvisation, you know, kind of show them on a child's level, like, what does it take to actually do a little mini show or mini short, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just kind of giving them a hands-on to the behind the scenes of, you know, the filmmaking or TV show or just the, you know, the process of being behind the camera.
See, that's cool.
But they actually do get to produce their own little, so we come together and we write like a little short script and they pick, you know, amongst themselves, they pick who's going to do what, you know, and they produce it. And then they get, like, you know, once we edit it, we give them a hard copy so they can have, you know, just have that for, you know, for their self, little selves.
See, that's dope. And I feel like, like, we need more of those types of programs because, you know, growing up wise, people always tell you, oh, you got to be a doctor, you got to be a lawyer, you got to be an engineer. But when you have certain people, like we're, you know, as you get older, you realize that your brain, everybody doesn't learn the same way. Some people are more creatives, you know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
And there aren't any, there aren't enough programs in the inner city that cater towards the arts, whether it be music arts or the visual arts or the digital art or the auditory arts. Like, it's a lot of gray area there that they don't do a lot of funding. And I think programs like this are important because you never know, you could be putting the camera in the hands of the next Spike Lee. you know?
Most definitely. And I appreciate that. And honestly, that's something that I want to get, because I kind of, that's the thing. We don't get that support financially. We don't even have any filming incentives in the city. That's why a lot of people don't like to make movies and do stuff, because here in Houston, we don't have those incentives. So,
yeah.
Hopefully, as time progresses, you know, I can get more exposure to get funding and more support on those things, because, of course, in order for me to function and do what I do, I have to have support as well.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, so hopefully, you know, in the future, I'll be able to get more backing on that, and so I can do, you know, do more, because that's my goal. I want to get back too, you know. And that's one of the ways that I do it.
Well, I tell you this much. Moving forward, anything like that you're working on and you need us to like help with promotion, like on Inaudible Ruckus and like with Slaughterhouse, just let us know, and we'll do our best to like help facilitate that. Because Ms. Cat, I went to a communications high school in Detroit, and they tried to shut our school down like all 4 years that I went there. So we literally had to fight every year, but we didn't have access to all the things that I needed to help me, because I went to school for radio. But when I went to college, that was literally like one of the first few times where I actually got to have hands-on, like on the equipment, and got to work with stuff. So I always felt like if I would have had something like that sooner. Now, I was fortunate enough to hang out at radio stations as a teenager, so I got a little bit of like hands-on experience. But growing up wise, you kind of had those opportunities were far few in between, you know?
Yeah, I understand.
So I'm passionate about it too. So whatever help you need, I'm here.
That, you know, that person in the city too, you know? So like I would tell people, support me and I can, you know, support you, because a lot of what I do, as people starting to see where I came from, first it was all trying to be seen and be in front of the camera, but now it's like my platform is to enhance and to be there for everybody else, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm trying to do, is build the city. I just want to be that person when it's all said and done. Like, you know, had it not been for Ms. Cat and her platform, I don't know where I would be. You know, I was going to give up, you know what I'm saying? But because Ms. Cat, you know, gave me an opportunity, now, look, here I am, you know? So that's all I'm trying to do.
So can I ask you this? Having that uplifting, selfless mentality and kind of mission statement, do you think that that's what sets you apart from other media companies? Because let's be clear, there's a lot of people that are always, you know, trying to advance. There's people that try to do what you do, but you see a lot of people that are out for self, or it's just a money grab for them. But you are very passionate, and your passion is evident in like your work and in your initiatives. But do you think that sets you apart?
I definitely do. I say it all the time. First of all, you can't compete with somebody who is competing with themselves. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't compete with nobody. I'm not, you know, I'm not out here. Everybody, you know, is doing their thing. I'm doing my thing. But all I see is me, and how can I be better? So that's first thing first. But secondly, if you do try, or if you are thinking that you're competing with me, if you are doing it for the money, you've already shortchanged yourself.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, you're not going to get the monetary value that you are really worth, to be honest with you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, especially like before my child, it's so much work, you know, that goes into it on the back end. People cannot comprehend how many late nights, sleepless, you know, or the fact that, you know, we film in a weekend, you know, to stay, you know, stay up to date. And that one actor that you see on the screen for 2 minutes, we have been filming since that morning all the way to that night. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is that, yes, if you are competing, thinking that you are for the money, you've already kind of failed. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because you have to have, it has to be some other passion besides monetary for you to do this, or else it's not going to work. So my thing is that when I realized, you know, that it's about others. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I took the monetary out, yes, of course, yeah. we got bills and we want to get paid. But when I realized how I was making a change, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And how people, you know, viewed me as somebody that gave them a chance when nobody else would. You know what I'm saying? A lot of the actors never act, but even just in For My Child, a lot of those actors, that was their first time ever doing anything. Mm-hmm. And I gave them a chance. You know what I mean? So that is what, you know, keeps it going and keeps me motivated.
That's it.
It's definitely not the money, because...
I completely understand. And one of the things, now that you say that, I was reading in Kevin Hart's book, and he was talking about his journey from being a comedian and how he was trying to, like, get on in Hollywood. And he was saying how important it is to have some film so that you can present to, the, like, these booking agents so that they can actually see you, and that'll help them, like, envision you in a role. And he had did that, the smaller role with Dame Dash, and then when they did Paper Soldiers, and that's what gave him a leg up when he first got out to Hollywood, because everybody else was just doing auditions, but he had him in an actual role, a lead role, and that kind of helped win him over. So like you said, sometimes all it takes is that one opportunity, because I believe he only got paid like $75 or something for that movie, so...
Definitely, but in the interim, you know what I'm saying, just being, like you said, having a leg up, being ahead of the game, having something else on your resume, just that, you know, than just being a comedian.
Yeah.
Look at him now, you know what I'm saying? So you never know, and that's what I think about. Like, I never know. Like, one of my actresses, she actually, not on For My Child, but from My Story, she moved to Atlanta. She's been on Greenleaf. She's been, you know what I'm saying? So I look at that like, man, you know what I'm saying? And My Stories was her first situation. You know what I mean? So it's just like, I never know who I'm breeding, what I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? And that's important to me. Like you said, I put a camera in a little child's hands. I don't know if that's the next Spike Lee. I don't know who that is. So I take it as a great responsibility, you know?
Yeah.
And I take it seriously.
No, I mean, as you should. And that's why I told, that's why I gave you, I had to pay homage when we started it, because people need to know these types of things. That's why I'm glad you're here to tell us about it. Because, I mean, you know, and you're a very humble person, but, like, even to your point when you had to jump off the porch and show them you still got it, like, you got, your work is going to speak for itself. And that's why we got you on the show.
I
got to mix it up a little bit. I got to mix it up. We usually do a part of the interview where we throw out, you get a choice. I give you two choices. You got to pick one, right? So I will say this. I usually judge people based on their answers. So we had a good interview so far, but based on your answers, it may go bad. So I just want you to know that ahead of time. So if you had the opportunity to play a part in the remake of one of these movies, which one would it be? Set It Off, Waiting to Exhale, or I guess I'd say Hidden Figures, because Hidden Figures is kind of newer, but if I'll throw that one in there.
Okay. Woo! All right. Well, Set It Off or Waiting to Exhale, because Hidden Figures is like a totally different... You know what I mean? So I'm gonna first, we'll stick with the classics, and I'm gonna, you know what? I'm gonna say Waiting to Exhale.
Okay.
Because being a woman first, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I think that.
Which character? Which character?
The one that's the car on fire.
All right.
I don't know.
We know who the crazy one is.
I don't know why, but that is the timeless, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's inevitable. Like, you think of Waiting to Exhale, you are thinking about that time when she set that car on fire. It's nothing, like, that is the scene.
Yeah.
That
you don't remember nothing else about the movie, you remember that part.
Exactly. So... just because I like to be memorable, that would be the scene. You know, that would be the actor that I would play.
Okay. Okay. So these are two classic TV shows, two legendary TV shows, especially when it comes to black women. So Living Single or Girlfriends?
Ooh. You know what? I would say Girlfriends. And the reason why I say Girlfriends is because the thing that I really liked about Girlfriends is that these women, although they had like their drama, you know, and stuff like that, they were, for the most part, classy, successful, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it actually showed African-American females in a, you know, they weren't ratchet, they weren't, you know what I mean? So I would actually say Girlfriends because, in essence, when I started my stories, my soap opera, I kind of based it on African-American females, kind of like, not like Girlfriends, but, you know, a baseline like that.
Yeah,
so I can dig it. I can definitely dig, you know, Girlfriends.
Okay. So we're taking it even further back to blaxploitation. So Cleopatra Jones or Foxy Brown?
I would say Foxy. I don't know why. I guess that name just resonates, you know, better with me. But yeah, you taking it back. You kind of
I took film. I took a film class in college, and I watched blaxploitation movies. So you know.
Okay, gotcha. Well, and that, you know, I would hope that that's my goal, that when it's all said and done, when somebody takes a class, they'll be like, well, what Miss Cat TV? What Miss Cat film did you like the most? You know what I mean? Or what show did you like the most from Miss Cat? That is, yeah, that's where I want to be in life.
Right, so switching to daytime TV, The View or The Real?
Oh, Lord. I would say The View.
Okay.
The View is Am I going south or look? Because you said this interview could go south.
Nah. You good.
Am I still north? Look.
Look, you have me at Girlfriends because that I love the show Girlfriends. So we good. Continue.
Okay, cool. What's next?
All right. Still staying in daytime TV. Ricky Lake or Ellen?
Ooh. You taking it back. I would say Ellen only because Ellen is still standing. You know what I'm saying? So kudos to those that can actually, you know what I'm saying, make it through years and years. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
It's about the longevity in the game. Yep.
Exactly. And what a lot of people don't know is that Ellen has her own production company, and she, like, they produce everything themselves. They don't have, like, a umbrella over them. Like, Ellen's company actually does their own show. So, you know, kudos to that.
Okay. Well, see, the other alternative was going to be Oprah, but that was a given, so I was trying to mix it up a little bit.
That is a given. We gonna go with Oprah.
All right. So this last one might be where the interview goes south. I don't know yet, so we're gonna see.
Oh.
So who are your top three favorite female artists?
Ooh. Now, do we have a genre or
I'm gonna say rap. I'm gonna say rap.
Rap.
Yeah.
Okay. And we don't have no time frame, just
all time.
Whenever.
Yep, whenever.
Okay. All time, Lauryn Hill.
Okay.
Gotta give it to Lauryn Hill. Rat female. I would say Queen Latifah because she is a legend.
Yep,
you know what I'm saying?
I agree.
And MC Light. You know what I'm saying? If we're, you know, again, it's kind of hard because if we had more specifics on time, era, and stuff like that. But if we're going classic, you know, it would definitely be MC Light, Queen Latifah, and Lauryn Hill. Lauryn Hill is definitely just hands down my fave.
Well, and I think all three of those had a lasting impact that transcended even beyond the music scene. So if I would have did R&B, I feel like we would have went way, like, it's too expensive for R&B, so I had to leave it at that. Sorry. So can you tell us about any other ventures that you're working on or any other projects that you're looking forward to? What's coming up next for Miss Cat TV?
Well, of course, next Thursday, we're having the premiere for My Child. I'll be honest with you, I have been pumping and I have been going for the last almost 3 years, no breaks, no breathe, no nothing. So after we have this premiere, I'm definitely going to probably take some time just to be Miss Cat, Catherine. Yeah. You know what I mean? Not even Miss Cat, Catherine. You know, just to kind of have some time to regroup and refocus. Like I said, I know that I do want to do a movie. I don't know how soon. Probably sometime next year, early next year. So I'll probably be, you know, putting that together.
Okay.
But right now, I'm just going to celebrate what I've done in the last 6 months. You know, because again, it was supposed to just be a one, you know, one hitter quitter.
Yeah.
And we've made it 6 months. And, you know, kudos to the people that's down with the project. We got ESG. We got Memphis 10 from 93.7 The Beat. We got Jay Valentine. So we got, like, you know, some movers and shakers in the city that's actually, you know, a part of the cast.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so I just want to celebrate that. And then after that, you know, we'll see what God, you know, what God does, you know.
For sure.
But I know that whatever it is going to, you know, as far as personal projects, definitely going to be in the realm of film.
Okay.
You know, that's something that you can expect, that I'm going to keep going. I'm going to start doing film festivals, you know, because that's where,
yeah,
where people get noticed, you know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, most definitely. Now, I will say this.
But
while I have you on the show, if you need a henchman, like, just, or like one of those duffel bag carrying dudes, you know, just like to come in and just, like, you know what I'm saying, with the black tee on and just, yeah, drop the bag on the and then go stand back, I could do that, right? I got a face for that.
Okay.
So, like, I can do that.
I will definitely keep that in mind, and I appreciate that.
I want to audition for henchman number 5. That's it.
Number 5. Yep. Okay. All right. Well, that means that I have to start developing a script that encompasses 5 henchmen, because right now I don't have nothing like that. But it's funny because people have been asking me, you know, to dip into horror, to dip into, you know, just, and I'm with it because I want to just take myself out my box, because that's when greatness happens. Mm-hmm. You know, when I start stepping outside of the box and doing stuff that I thought that I could never do, you know, that's when it starts to really, you know, come to life.
Yeah.
So I'm going to keep, you know, progressing. I'm going to keep doing what I do, and hopefully one day you'll be like, damn, you know, she actually won an award. You know, mm-hmm. I had her on my show, you know?
No, I believe it, because so, like, with my job a couple months back, I was able to go to Sundance. I was working an event up there. But basically, some of the panels that I got a chance to listen on, the industry is shifting towards independent, like, black directors.
Yes.
And more so black women. And I think that now is a prime opportunity, especially with your body of work and with your endeavors moving forward. Like, I won't be surprised if I see you blow up, like, very soon. So all I gotta say is, don't forget about me. And you might have a budget for 10 henchmen. Just remember, number 5 is like me.
I got you. Okay. Number 5, I got you. For sure. And I appreciate it, and thank you for the support.
Almost
much love to Slaughterhouse, you know, because Vic has definitely been down with Miss Cat since forever, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I just appreciate y'all just holding me down and being that support for me, because if it not been for y'all, you know, and just all the media outlets and people that uplift me, you know,
mm-hmm.
I probably, you know, wouldn't be here, so I appreciate that.
No, I saw that. We got to stick together. So tell the Inaudibles listening out there, tell them your social media, your website, and where all they can find you at.
So, yes, you can find me at Miss Cat TV Everything. That's MSCAT TV. That's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. My website, www.MissCatTV.com. That's MSCATTV.com. So what you can look forward to is I'll probably be updating. I haven't touched my website in quite some time, so I'll probably update that, you know, get that back popping. But
okay.
We just appreciate everybody, you know, just staying connected and staying tuned into Miss Cat TV.
Oh, no doubt. All right, y'all. Y'all heard it here first, man. Miss Cat TV, it's the Ski Tall Listening Series, an Audible Ruckus. Motherfucker. What I want.
Yeah.